Dear friends, do you want your life to have impact? I know very few people who would say, no, I don't care if I make a difference or not. We all want to have opportunity to use our gifts that God has designed us to be of effect on other people's lives in love, in service. And that's exactly what we'll talk about in the second part of the series, Point of Service. In our last opening discussion on Make a Difference, we talked about bigger service because of what God has done. He's drawn us into something bigger. So let me ask this philosophic question. Would you say God uses people to get work done, or He uses work to get people done? It's kind of a play on words, but I'd like to discuss it. A friend of mine had this in mind when he told the story of how his work life began. He was from a family of eight. Yes, it was a farming family, agricultural. Many of you probably grew up around that. Maybe you're one of those. Yeah, there's the elbow. A large family, eight kids over 10 years, and he said, I learned how to work. Well, he said sometimes it was like a military camp and we all felt like mom and dad were a little bit of, you know, crack the whip. But he said, I now see the blessing of what was given to me. There were five boys and three girls. He was the youngest of the boys. And in this family, he said, I started getting paid for my first job after my eighth grade year. Now put this into context, today's world. 14 years old. You know what he did? He didn't work on the farm. He went and worked at a restaurant. And he was a busboy, cleaning up, doing dishes, but he had many more jobs. He painted when they needed painting. He did all kinds of outside work, mowed the lawn, helped in general. In fact, it was a full-time job at eighth grade during the summer. He worked 48 hours a week for $3 an hour. Now, let me just show you, there are some of us in this room who worked for that or less. $3 or under, your first job. Huh? Yeah, you see the hands? Now, you might think that's kind of amazing, but for him, he said, I had already been instructed on how to do this. I worked hard and I really enjoyed it, except he said it was sort of a surprise. As I got ready to go to high school, right before the school year started, my mom said, well, now that you got all that money in the bank account, and he goes, yeah. He said, you're going to have to buy your own clothes this year. What? Yeah, it's with every kid in the family when they've earned the dollars. It's the only way we can make it is you got to buy your own clothes. And he goes, ah, well, okay. And she said, you don't get an allowance anymore. So the way it worked was they worked really hard all summer long, stacked the money, and then lived on that through the year. Because they all needed to participate. Now, I met him as a pastor, and he said, you know, it really started much earlier than that. And we're kind of laughing and teasing him. I was born and raised in Nebraska. Around farming, I've done everything he had done, but not in the same dimension. I didn't have to do it quite the same way. He said, when I got my first job, I was 7 years old, but I didn't get paid. And I worked that way until I was 14. I said, well, what was your job? He goes, well, it sort of was like this. My brothers all worked on the neighbor's farm haying. And so one day my mom said, you're old enough now, you go hay with the big boys. And I thought, woohoo, I get to go with the boys. And then he said, halfway there, I realized mom just wanted to get me out of the house. And I would stay with them all day long. Wasn't an option to come back home. So I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I tried to pick up a bale. How many of you picked up a bale of hay? It's heavy. 7-year-old, couldn't do it. And the farmer, the neighbor, laughed at him, and he pointed at him, and he goes like this, come up here. And he pointed to the seat next to him on the tractor. He said, my first job was to help the farmer on the tractor. Doing what? He said, well, my job was to keep the farmer on the tractor. When we came to a gate, I hopped down, opened the gate. When we got through, I climbed back up on the tractor. Simple, right? When we got to the barn, I ran in and got the tool. Sometimes I had to come out and ask two or three times, what was it like? He said, I was the one that always did the gopher work, but he said it was not without effect. At any of the neighborhood gatherings, whenever the farmer would see me, he would call me over and say to everyone in hearing, this is my right-hand man. And he said, I used to feel so proud of the work I did with the farmer. You know, isn't it interesting how when we fit the right dimensions, that we have impact, that it is good for us as well as for the other person. It certainly was good for the family. Although he would say sometimes, you know, I think mom and dad just wanted to get work done. But he said what God wanted was to get me done by teaching me how to work. Now let's put that into context. Jesus was going to take his love to the finish line. And it starts that way in this upper room of all the things that Jesus is facing. It's there that he shows his service. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. That's the 84 NIV. The 2011 changes it and says, he loved them to the end. And I'm going to blend those two translations together to explain this text. Because what happened next is a powerful thing. It is, in fact, the point of service that makes a difference for us. Jesus would carry them to the finish line. Do you know that if you run a 13K race or a marathon and you stop with 100 yards left to go, you get no credit? No billing, no band playing. You have to cross the finish line, right? And I do have to apologize to Tom. I know I make too many football analogies. I'll try to get more Brewers in, more baseball analogies. But this one, Tom, I didn't. Maybe you'll come back and tell me what baseball could be. The analogy is a goal line, right? If you catch the ball and you run 95 yards and they tackle you with 5 yards to go, what difference did it make? If they hold the team there, nothing. It will have changed nothing other than exchanging the football. You have to get in to the goal line. You have to cross, and then it is going to count. Here's the point, and this is the difference maker. Jesus is the only one that could cross the finish line. Jesus is the only one that could make the goal and finish the game. Now, I think we miss this in this context because it's about washing feet. And most of us think, you know, wow, this is really weird. This is old stuff. Who washes each other's feet? When was the last time you sat down at a gathering with someone and they came over with a bowl of water and said, can I wash your feet? Oh, maybe Mark does that stuff. You know, it's probably more this analogy, and it works in my family. Will you rub my feet? Right? And that, of course, is a sign of endearment, and it often happens between husband and wife. Except that isn't it true that often it's kind of a comparison, almost like a competition? Like, who needs their feet rubbed the most? She'll come and say to me, I had a really hard day. You know, will you rub my feet? And of course, I'm thinking in my head, sure, yeah, you think you had a hard day. Do you get that analogy then? Not washing feet, but rubbing feet? Well, let's take it one step more and show what it really meant to go to the finish line. On the most stressful night of his life, in 5 hours, he's going to be betrayed by his own. In 5 hours, they're all going to run, abandon him. And in 24 hours, he's going to be bloodied and hanging on a cross moments from death when he will cry out, it is finished. Under the most stressful time, he's still focused on his relationship with the Father, and that focus prompted acts of service. What was Jesus doing on his hands and knees washing their feet? Do we really understand? I want you to understand this more deeply, so I'm going to take it and use it a little bit differently. The language is, he extended his love to the end. So now listen as he comes to Peter. Peter's the one that, he's the only one that noticed. What are you doing, Jesus? You can't wash my feet. Of course, that's a slave's job. But there was no one doing that. So Jesus is doing that. And he comes to Peter and he says, Lord, are you going to extend your love to the end for me? What a weird question. See, if you substitute that, you go like, what's really going on here? Are you going to extend your love to me all the way to the end? Well, of course Jesus is. You know what Peter says? Jesus says, you do not realize what I'm doing. Later you'll understand. No, you shall never extend your love all the way to the end for me. What, Peter? Don't you want Jesus to cover your sins, to love you unconditionally? And Jesus says, you do not realize that unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Like, you know, share your love all over me. You know, but Peter still didn't understand. Because let me ask you this. If he had understood, what would his next action be? Wouldn't you think that Peter would be the one getting up asking for the towel and then getting down and very gladly washing James's feet? But did he? No. Do we understand? You see, what happens is the point of service is that we go to Jesus to the cross and there we are fully and freely forgiven. He humbly loves us to the end. He extends it all for us. The fact is, Christian service comes from the top down, doesn't it? From Jesus, and it has to be that way. And it comes, as it says in the text, as an example. Do you understand what I've done? I've done this as an example so that you will love others as I have loved you. I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You see, the serve us turns into service for others when we let Jesus take us to the point of his service and remind us again and again. I used to think that it was linear. Jesus serves us and then we go and serve other people. But it's not. It's circular. As is very Jewish, of course. As we go and serve others, we need to be replenished again and again and again and again. We have to come back and hear the message of Christ. We have to come to the Word. We have to come to worship. And you can pour yourself out and not be refilled. You can become so actively involved that you no longer are served by God, or you won't let Jesus serve. In fact, like Peter, we might say, oh no, I don't need you to extend your love all the way to the end. Rather, we are coming back to the cross again and again. We see what Jesus was willing to do. And through your service, you will be blessed. It is not something I have to do. Christian service is what I want to do. It is my effort to seek a point of service because Jesus did that for me. Now, I guarantee you that if you serve, he will continue to fill you up. And I also guarantee you that if you pray and ask, he has said in Philippians 2, he has prepared things for you to do in advance. Works of service. Now let me share with you something that actually came from this very room. A couple of individuals, and I will not point them out distinctly, so you'll have to wonder a little bit, came into my office. They pulled out of a bag something that kind of surprised me. In fact, I was well into writing the service and this sermon when I saw it, and I just shook my head and said, Lord, this is unbelievable. Because it was the point of service in a very real way. One of our members has had a cancer diagnosis, serious cancer diagnosis for almost 2 years, over a year and a half. And during that time, a group of people that she was around wanted to show their care for her, because there's times when you're going through chemo, you get pretty down. You need support. And so a family came, and actually one of the members who's not a, or one of the family members who's not a member here, but his wife is, built a little gift. Part of it was for the husband, very distinctive. Part of it was for the wife, very distinctive. And then got the group to all write favorite passages and laminated them, a whole stack of passages. And this was a holder for the stack of cards. And they gave this gift to her so that they could support her. And they said, whenever you are getting down, when you're struggling, pull these out and listen to the Lord's voice. And she said, I've done it 100 times. Do you realize what that means? That means without pastor telling anybody to do anything at all, this person found a point of service, a person in need, and met the need. And then made it a group effort to encourage another of the family of God. What an incredible thing. And I want you to understand how much of an impact it will make. What is it that you do? Maybe you're the one that brings a dinner over for a newborn family, a mom and a dad that are kind of busy with other things. And it has its impact. Maybe you're the one that goes to a hospice and sings hymns or reads the scripture or just visits when people are nearing the end. What is your point of service? And why do you do it? It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's because He has loved you that you are able to love. And that is the premise of Scripture, and it is the relationship, a circular relationship with Jesus. He says we love because He first loved us. And it's in that spirit that we will continue to make a difference. I hope today. And as we pray, God will give us opportunity. Amen.